Well, the current political battle over the Big Ten network is an example of the, I think, of the shifting communication landscape across Wisconsin. Barry Orton with us to talk about that landscape. He is the professor of telecommunication in the Department of Professional Development and Applied Studies in the Division of Continuing Studies at UW-Madison. He's a veteran consultant to cable television franchising authority, specializes in telecommunications planning and public opinion research, in addition to broadband policy and regulation. And he also contributes to former Mayor Paul Soglin's web blog, which is waxingamerica.com. Waxingamerica.com.
One word, www.waxingamerica.com. That's Paul's web blog. I edit it and contribute pieces primarily on telecommunications.
Well, it would be hard to, living in Wisconsin, for many parts of Wisconsin at least, it would have been hard to ignore all of the hoopla surrounding the Big Ten network and the National Football League networks and the cable industries.
Yeah, let's put that in some context. For the last year, Wisconsin residents have been bombarded as if it's a political campaign with hundreds of thousands of dollars, almost millions of dollars worth of commercials, all put out by a so-called AstroTurf group called TV for Us, paid for by AT&T. And they are convincing us that cable rates are too high and service is bad, and if only we'd pass legislation allowing competition, rates would go down, service would be better, and we'd spank those terrible cable companies. The problem is, as Representative Mark Pocan of Madison spoke last week at the Joint Finance Committee, which passed the bill 13-3, the so-called video competition bill, the cable industry is for it, too. They're pushing for this deregulation bill as well. And you got to scratch your head and say, why is it that we're going to get lower prices and better service out of those terrible cable companies by passing a bill they're trying to push? And nobody seems to get that. And as you read in the papers, they've contributed heavily to both parties. The current chair of the Democratic Party, Joe Winicky, had to give back their money when they paid him to help them. They've got members of the CWA, the president of the Kenosha branch of the Communication Workers of America, AT&T's largest union, is registered as a lobbyist for AT&T, is taking their money to push AT&T's bill. So they've paid and bought commercials and legislators and policy here, and at the table was AT&T and the cable industry, and not at the table were the public, were even the members of the legislature, and were the access community, the people who produce programming for local governments. They're not at the table, they're on the menu. Mm-hmm. And so this bill, which is going to be up for vote on Thursday, we're talking about the video competition bill that already passed the Assembly and Joint Finance last week, up for vote Thursday in the State Senate. I predict it's going to pass. I'm against it, as I know you are. In some ways, it really does reward industries and really parcels out us as subscribers, our dollars, as to where they're going and how. And that's where the Big Ten comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I got to kind of tie all this together, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Big Ten Network, as your listeners know, is the new network that the Big Ten has created with Fox Sports as partners and is now on satellite and is only on cable and small cable systems, but is not on Charter, not on Time Warner, not on Comcast in Chicago, not on Time Warner in New York, and is very frustrating to the fans, to the audience. And it's a question of how much of our money each group is going to get. It's the same issue. We are the sheep. We are being shorn. And so the question is only how much of the wool, Big Ten Network versus and Fox versus Charter and Time Warner, are going to get. It's not a question of whether we're going to be shorn. It's a question of how much wool they're going to take and who divides it up. And that's the same thing with the cable bill. And it's the same thing with the Big Ten Network and as it was with the NFL Network before that. Fiasco upon fiasco.
Let's go back to that cable bill and talk about that. Why, It's interesting that sometimes the titles of bills, those who are against the bills say, you know, that people title a bill and it's when it's actually means the opposite of what they have.
It's just exactly like the Clean Air Act that lets you pollute more, and the No Child Left Behind Act, which lets you miseducate people. It's the same kind. We'll call it the Video Competition Act, and it'll make everybody happy, but in fact it does the opposite. It deregulates de facto monopolies and lets them parcel out the audience for themselves without adequate customer service standards, without consumer protection, without public goods in the social contract between the public and these users of the public rights of way, the big phone companies and big cable companies. I've spent my career here representing local governments in the way they regulate cable. And what this would do would take that long-held process by which local governments make a deal with a cable company or companies. It's no, and that's one of the lies that's been told. This is all a monopoly. It's not. That the second company just didn't want to come in under really less than favorable terms. The reality of it is there's been a very good workable solution. The cable company provides certain local channels, the public educational and governmental channels, for the public good. It provides free hookups to schools. It pays a rent for the use of the rights of way in terms of a franchise fee. And consumer protection happens on the local level. So my cable goes out and I don't have satisfaction with Charter or Time Warner in Milwaukee or wherever.
Yeah.
I can call City Hall. And there's somebody, it's usually a bedraggled village clerk or somebody who's running five other departments, and they take those calls and they expedite with a call right to the cable company. I have these five problems today. You didn't bury the drop. You didn't do this. Somebody's wall got a hole in it. And those get fixed fast. Is that going to happen when this goes to the state of Wisconsin? Those complaints go to the state of Wisconsin that deliberately under this bill doesn't have any staff to deal with it? No, I don't think so.
No. Steve in Madison has, by the way, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. Steve in Madison, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hello, Larry and Barry. I wanted to ask Barry about a la carte programming. Many years ago, and Barry knows who this is, when I was in the cable business and we only had 12 channels, I always thought it would have been a wonderful idea to just charge customers for the channels that they wanted, not the ones that they didn't want to watch. And I noticed that the commissioner of the FCC, Kevin Martin, is finally on board with my idea. I wonder where Barry thinks this is going.
Well, I think it's going slowly. It's going in the right direction, Steve. The Capital Times did a very good piece on this front page last week, and the idea is the technology is now there. We can get pay-per-view. We can, my little cable box communicates back to the cable operator what I need, and when I turn it off and on, it knows that. And the technology is there. The billing system is way behind. The industry's billing system is relatively very crude. So that is not so easy. But the reality of it is the programming bundles that the cable industry has come to rely on, the ESPN bundles and the CNN package and all those kinds of things, really have allowed some of the more special interest channels to survive when they wouldn't otherwise. So there's some good and some bad there. The industry, of course, as you know, has been dead against this from the beginning. This is their business model. We bundle stuff. No other industry can get away with that the way the cable industry has. But I think it's not going to be long for this world. It's not going to happen next year, probably not the year after. But I think within 3 years, we're going to start to see a real move towards a la carte. And these problems with the NFL Network and the Big Ten Network basically feed into that. And when people realize the issue, they realize, well, I'm either going to have to pay for a network I do or another network I don't want to watch, or I'm going to pay a little more for networks that I do want to watch. I think nobody saves money when you all unbundle things. You wind up spending about the same one way or another. As you know, Steve, more than I do, with the cable industry, rates only go one way, and the amount we pay only goes one way. And so even if this bill passes, cable rates will not go down. Anybody who thinks that cable rates will go down as a result of legislation passed in the state senate in Madison, I have bridges to sell them.
All right. Steve, thank you. I want to get Sue and Eau Claire online. Sue, hi to you.
Hi. Although we could keep dreaming that they would go down, I'm probably the worst cable customer in the world. I get so mad at them. But I really agree that things should be unbundled and you should be able to get what you want, because I think there's 190 channels of worthless programming for the most part. And maybe if you could choose the channels you wanted to get, you'd get a little bit less of this just absolutely worthless programming.
The problem is, Sue, that your worthless programming is my worthwhile programming and vice versa. And sometimes within a household, that bundle of programming, if they had to actually pick which channels they were going to pay for, sometimes within the members of a household, there'd be great disagreement over that.
Especially in the age differences.
Age differences, the gender differences, all those kind of things make us like certain programming and really loathe others. But the program that I loathe is probably programming you really like, and vice versa. And so that's where the a la carte thing would come in. And I think you almost and the technology's there. We almost have to do a kind of pay-per-view thing. We pay every time we watch a rerun. We pay every and some small amount. That's a system that can work. I think we don't like it to work, but that's why the cable industry has such a bad public relations image, because down deep, all of us cable subscribers really hate some of the programming we pay for and flip by.
Barry Orton, our guest today, professor of telecommunications at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, as we talk with him about the communications landscape in Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. About the communications landscape in Wisconsin, we've been zeroing in a bit on cable with you today. But if you'd like to join in, Barry Orton, our guest, a professor of telecommunications at UW-Madison, pleased to have him along. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. In Madison at 263-1890. Mary in Madison has a question for you, Barry. So let's go to Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a question about the franchising authority. And I did work for Charter at one point in time and handled all the checks that came through to the municipalities that received their franchise dollars, which to me seemed like a tax that we citizens paid for a service that we were paying for in addition. But what will happen to those monies that the communities have received traditionally when or if this bill passes? And I'll listen and take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Oh, actually, not much. That money will remain. There will be a franchise fee paid to cities just as it is now. I suspect it'll be lowered slightly by some slightly narrower definitions that are in the law, and probably because some more subscribers will get siphoned off into dishes as a result of the law. I think that's going to be one of the results. But in general, they'll stay the same. And it is like a tax, but it's not. It's actually a rent that the cable company pays, and of course the subscribers pay, mm-hmm. For the use of the public right-of-way, because they're a private company using land that we all own jointly and run by the city in the backs of our yards and in the front of our yards. And that is legally a franchise fee, and at base, it's a rent, although it sure does feel like a tax.
It sure does. Chris in Madison, hi to you.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Let's pretend that I wanted to start Chris's phone company in Madison.
Telephone company?
Telephone company.
Okay.
The AT&T is required to lease me the lines at a reasonable rate, like TDS Telephone Company and all the other little phone companies have done.
Right.
Is Charter in the same? If I wanted to start Chris's cable company, are they in the same boat?
No, they're legally not the same thing. They are not a telephone company. They're a cable company, and they do primarily video. They do telephone in addition. They do high-speed internet in addition over those same lines. But they're primarily a video provider, a cable provider, and they are legally, under the federal law and the state law, a different entity, a different kind of entity. They are not required to lease you enough space to be your own cable company. You could try, and there is a provision in the law, to lease a channel or parts of a channel. So you could get into the video business that way. If you had enough money and had a good business plan, you could lease a piece of a channel or a channel, but you couldn't start your own cable company using their facility.
Well, and my understanding is that you couldn't start a cable company here in Madison anyway because there's an exclusive.
No, no, they're not exclusive.
They're not exclusive.
In fact, that's one of the myths that TV for Us and AT&T has put out there, that they're exclusive. They're not exclusive. They haven't been for 20 years, by federal law. There was a court case and then a law passed in Chicago. And the Chicago suburbs, many of the suburbs and the city have a second cable company. It's called WOW, Wide Open West. It was started by Ameritech when Ameritech thought video was a good idea. There are similar such companies in the suburbs of cities in Ohio and in Michigan. There are a few in Wisconsin, but not many, and they're in small places. Legally, AT&T could come to Madison tomorrow and start building a cable company. All they have to do is do the same thing that Charter does. The problem is that they don't want to. They don't want to spend that much money. They particularly don't want to be required to serve everybody. Here's the big thing of this bill. The bill would make both cable companies and AT&T or any other video company get a state franchise with the Department of Financial Institutions, which basically charters banks, but was written into this bill because it doesn't know anything about cable and doesn't have any expertise in it, so that's the best place to unregulate it. Normally, as in Illinois, you'd go to the Public Service Commission, or in Illinois, the Illinois Commerce Commission, to regulate these things. But the unregulation bill in Wisconsin seeks to unregulate both cable companies and video companies, on top of phone companies, and unregulate them at the Department of Financial Institutions. That means that local governments would be out of this business completely. As it stands now, AT&T could come to Madison, get a franchise, do the same terms and conditions. The big thing in the state bill is that state franchised cable companies would not be required to serve everybody. If you have a local franchise, you're required, with some exceptions, to serve everybody in town. I couldn't get a cable franchise in Madison and not serve the South Side. I couldn't get one in Milwaukee and not serve the North Side. But under this bill, there are some numbers, 40%, 50%, but they're low numbers. And so the cable company and the phone company would get to decide who to serve and, more important, who not to serve. When they don't serve somebody with a line and with a video service, they would offer a satellite service. So that's why I say this law will eventually migrate people off cable onto satellite, and
it's migrating me already.
Well, that's the next step we have to talk about. But the bill's big flaw to me, other than it takes something that isn't broken, tries to fix it, and gives a free ride to both industries, is that the bill would have massive loopholes, would allow people who got into the cable business or the phone business to decide, I'm only going to serve those neighborhoods where I can make the most money, or those towns where I can make the most money, and rural people would get screwed by this bill.
Hmm. Well, I'm told that Illinois has a much better...
much better bill. It has more consumer protections. It has local option for the cable company if it wants to stay local, and Comcast, the biggest cable company in Illinois, has decided to stay with its local franchises because it has significantly stronger consumer protections, and they would be built in Illinois into the Attorney General's office. The reality in Illinois was Lisa Madigan, the Attorney General of Illinois, played a very big role in shaping that bill. And she took a lot of power and consolidated into the Attorney General's office on consumer protection. She allowed local governments to continue to do consumer protection, and she has the AG playing a very strong role herself. So we don't have that anywhere near here in Wisconsin. We have the polar opposite of that.
Yeah, and why didn't we look at that?
We did look at that bill, and there is an alternative bill that's similar to Illinois that's going to be introduced as an alternative when they come to vote on this on Thursday. I helped shape that. I don't give it a whole lot of chance because, as I said, this bill is, as much as any bill can be, fixed, greased, done, covered, whatever you want to call it. It's it's been out-lobbied and outspent, the two sides of this thing, by factors of hundreds of thousands, because the antis don't have a big budget. They don't have 12 lobbyists. They don't have commercials going every time. They have professors talking on public radio. And you can tell me which what the balance there is.
Jim and Phillips, hello to you.
Just fine. They are running fiber optic past my house, and there now I can get cable TV through the fiber optic phone line. Now, is that something new, or is that something, and I get it direct from the phone company? They run the cable in town, but out by me, it's running off the fiber optic phone line. Is that something new, or what?
Yeah, that's part of, and again, I don't know, depends on who your phone company is. Who's the phone company you're talking about?
It's just a local Price County telephone company.
Yes, I'm aware of Price County Telephone. They are, a lot of the smaller telephone, rural telephone companies are beefing up their plant with fiber. And they're going to be running video and selling video and high-speed internet and phone over the fiber. Fiber is better. There's no question. And so the more fiber, the better. The argument of AT&T and those folks is that if we pass this bill, we get more fiber. But the reality of it is AT&T's video plan is not a fiber-based plan. It's a copper-based plan. It sends fiber to a neighborhood, and then it squeezes the video into that little tiny copper wire that they're trying to squeeze DSL and phone in, and that little copper wire is like a garden hose size wire, and they're trying to feed in, or you'd like them to feed in, a
fire hose.
Well, more than a fire hose. The fiber optic is more like a utility water line, a main water line. Main is the word I'm looking for. And this little copper that goes to your house that AT&T is calling U-verse because they don't want to spend the money to put fiber to the home is like a garden hose. Verizon's doing the opposite. Verizon has a couple of locations here in Wisconsin, but not enough to justify video. But they're getting video franchises all over their territories on the East Coast and elsewhere. They're doing it right. They're going and living up to local municipal control and standards with cable, but they're building fiber to the premises. And it's a very powerful tool. It's a higher capacity system than the hybrid fiber coaxial cable that cable television uses, which is still much better than fiber copper.
Yeah.
How far are we from getting TV over the cell phone? Because
You're not that far, but you're not going to get high def quality and the kind of information glut that you want to get with video into your big TV set at home. That's two different things.
Yeah.
We're going to get a lot of video and a lot of YouTube kind of stuff over the phones, no question. But that's not a high-definition football game.
Yeah, right.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Chris in Cedarburg, your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Larry. I'll just share on the heels of those last comments. About 3 months ago, I switched to the AT&T U-verse, and despite its faults in the infrastructure design, I've had every Big Ten cable game every weekend while all my neighbors are pulling their hair out.
Yeah, AT&T made a deal.
I've got 30 high-def channels. I've got a DVR machine built into the box that comes with the system at no charge. And now we're addicted to watching live TV and rewinding and pausing and looking whether the guy's foot was inbounds or out of bounds. So maybe the U-verse has its flaws in its infrastructure design, but it just baffles me that people across the state are frustrated with the Big Ten problem, but they haven't grasped onto the U-verse product.
Well, U-verse isn't available in most places. So,
it available everywhere you have a DSL?
No, they have not rolled it out everywhere they have a DSL yet. They've only got it in particular markets. You must be, you're a suburb of Milwaukee, correct?
Yeah, North Shore, suburb of Milwaukee.
Well, gee, where would I go if I were going to start rolling out a high-end product in the entire state of Wisconsin? Where would I think I would want to go first?
Probably to the
North Shore of Milwaukee. North of Milwaukee, I'd go to Whitefish Bay. I'd go to all those suburbs absolutely first. And the reality of it is I might never get to the north part of the city of Milwaukee, where the demographics are not as good. And that's what this bill would allow. It would allow U-verse service to go to Whitefish Bay and never make it to Capitol Drive in Milwaukee by law. And that's, I think, a real problem. U-verse as a technology is not as good as fiber to the home, but it does work. And of course, they do have the Big Ten. They do have an advantage, just like satellite does now. There is a programming niche, particularly the Big Ten Network, NFL Sport, NFL Network, and so on, that the cable companies are not carrying because of the economic fight over who gets what piece of it. But AT&T doesn't care about that. They want to get you, as you put it yourself, listener, addicted. Do you remember you used that word? When you're addicted, watch what the prices. Watch in the long run what the prices are. When in the beginning of competition, you will see lower prices very quickly for a very short period of time. And then once you're hooked up, once you're addicted, once you're used to it, 2 years, 3 years from now, tell me if those prices are cheaper.
Well, let me counter with the fact that would have been the argument for never letting Southwest Airlines and JetBlue come on board or AirTran. But we all benefit from those, and those guys haven't gone out of business, and they've made the big guys bring their prices down. So I'm not convinced that I'm going to be – I hate paying AT&T and Time Warner a $100 check or a $75 check, but I'm not convinced that we'll end up where we're all going to be paying a much higher price. Competition right now, I got a letter from Time Warner 3 weeks later begging me to come back.
You're in right now. You're there's going to be competition in where you are. Where UVerse is being rolled out, there will be that competition. It will be short-lived.
It will be short-lived.
6 months, a year, 2 years tops, rates will be going back up again because the market will have settled out, and then you're addicted, and then you don't want to switch. And so then that's the time that we get out our sheep shears and shorn them?
You shear
the sheep.
Shear. You know, and as we were talking about, I'm actually switching from cable to DirecTV. I'll make that statement. And I believe a lot of other people are right now.
It has reached a tipping point, particularly with this Big Ten network. And, of course, last week, with the exquisite timing only that cable companies have, they sent out the rate increase letters that they always send out this time of year, but this was the worst year to possibly do it, but they did it anyway. And so you have to wonder from the outside whether who's doing a worse job of public relations, the Big Ten Network, Charter, Time Warner, they all seem to be bumbling it. And I understood, I guess, the football game a couple of weeks ago, Big Ten Network got mentioned and the crowd booed, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
They're not engendering great goodwill on either side here.
Thanks, Chris. Christine in McFarland has a comment, a question. Hi, Christine.
Hello. I'm a cable subscriber, and, you know, I'm quite okay in my apartment complex. But my neighbors were all upset because they came home last week, and the people from the apartment complex had come and taken down the dishes. Then I heard that there was an FCC ruling coming up saying that an apartment complex owner could not do a sole provider kind of thing for their apartment complex. Could you talk a little bit about that so I can inform my neighbors?
Well, it is kind of complex in the apartment complex, and here's the deal. They can't stop you from having a dish on your balcony or other part of the rental unit or condo unit that you control solely, but they can stop you from putting one on the roof. They can stop you from putting one on mounting it to the wall. But if you have a balcony or some kind of patio that's yours, you can put up a dish. They can't stop you. The ruling you were talking about, the FCC is, again, trying to get some competition going, and they are not allowing, or they're proposing not allowing, landlords to have a sole provider deal with only one company if there's another company around. Unfortunately for most people now, there isn't another company around, so that's kind of moot. But in areas like Chicago, or like Whitefish Bay or
McFarland,
one of those places where there is competition, like Mount Horeb, for example.
Mount Horeb.
Or Reedsburg, mm-hmm. where there's a second company. You could then, the landlord must allow both companies in, and you could have a choice. But at the moment, if you're in an apartment and the landlord says there's only one cable and there's no dish because I'm not allowing you to mount it, then you're going to be paying that one bill.
All right.
They're mounting it on their porches. So
porches?
I'll give them fuel for their energies, yeah.
Porches are allowed, specifically by law. So if they're mounting it on their own little individual porches, the landlord cannot stop that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Christine. Ed in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Question and a comment. Question is, the SEC is talking about Chairman Martin of expanding the ability of a company that owns both a newspaper and a television station.
Yes.
And it sounds like that thing's going to be ran through quick.
That's correct.
And also, my comment is I've had the same telephone number for 35 years. I always had AT&T long distance until that I wasn't able to get it, and then I got AT&T telephone cards. And when the new AT&T assumed ownership, all of a sudden they tripled my rates only for in-state calls. I have to pay 12 cents a minute. I can call Ketchikan, Alaska for 4 cents a minute. But anyway, thanks for the program.
Yeah,
well, you'd be unhappy to know that after this video bill passes, the next bill the legislature is going to look at will be deregulation of local telephone service, particularly basic telephone service. It's the same folks who are behind the video bill. They're going to try to strip the last remaining power out of the Public Service Commission to protect local phone subscribers in Wisconsin. This unregulation thing is a juggernaut right now. And at this point, I'd watch the state senate. If you've got a state senator you know, give them a call or an email on either side of this bill. But this is a train that's going through, and then after that, there'll be other trains that will be similar, and the next to go will be basic telephone service.
Huh. Thank you, Ed. Don in Wauwatosa, hi.
Hi. I'd like to know whether or not property owners can reassert any rights to the utility easement, given that utility easement was created so that everyone would have access, and then the cable companies go in and they lease on that line. But if they're not going to provide across the board to everyone, collectively, maybe property owners ought to get some sort of a kickback to the lease that now goes exclusively to the utility company, the electric company, who has strung the initial wires.
Yeah, those. I'm not a legal expert on the use of utility easements, but I do know this. Those easements, once you give them and the state sort of certifies them, phone easement, power easement, and so on, their oversight is from the Public Service Commission, and these kind of bills generally very carefully take any teeth out of what the Public Service Commission can do. Individual property owners probably have very little rights once that easement has been signed away. Maybe you could have some kind of a joint property owners civil suit to get some damages, but I wouldn't hock my car to finance that suit. One of those joint, I'm looking for the word, and it escapes me right now, where a whole bunch of consumers get together.
Class action.
Class action. Thank you, Larry. Maybe a class action suit. There might be a lawyer somewhere fishing around for plaintiffs in that. But those easements are very carefully and legally parsed out so that rights signed away don't usually come back to you.
Thank you very much, Don, for calling. And Barry, thank you. So Thursday's the day, and we'll find out. It sounds like it's a done deal.
In the state senate, we will watch and see. And as the Capital Times said, this will be a sign as to whether the sign for sale should be put on the sign of the side of the Senate door outside of the Wisconsin legislature.
Barry Orton, professor of telecommunications at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. Fun talking with him. We'll have to have him back, and we'll reassess after the bills get passed and see where we are and where we need to go. Coming up tomorrow at 11, Wisconsin's wildlife is the topic for discussion. Scott Craven, professor of wildlife ecology, a UW Extension wildlife ecologist, will be our guest. And we have some animal sounds you're going to love. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.